Hey, besties.
Welcome to the BFF Bookcast.
We're your hosts, Teresa and Katie.
Before we jump in, we just want to remind everyone that what we discuss are our own thoughts and opinions. Just remember, we are here to have a good time.
And as always, please check trigger warnings before reading any books we will be discussing. And beware, we curse like the Bat Boys probably do during their annual snowball fight.
Katie's disgusting today.
Yeah, my cough sounds like I've been smoking a pack of cigarettes since I came out of the womb. I've said that, and I quote probably no less than 10 times on every single call. Thanks. Everyone heard me yesterday, and I sounded like dog shit yesterday. And then because I had to like present and I was doing like a trial run, sometimes you can't hit mute fast enough before you cough.
No.
So the girls were like, oh my God. I'm like, no, I sound horrific. Like part dog, part cigarette smoker for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But I literally, that's been like my go-to saying. Like I just sound like I've been smoking a pack of cigarettes since I came out of the womb.
Yeah, no, you look like it too.
Very definitely. I mean, look at these lines, man.
Oh my God. Don't say anything mean about your cousins again. Don't worry, Carrie, I got your back.
I mean, it'd be different if I didn't have them.
No, right. But
I have these awful lines.
First of all, like, I don't think any of you do, but like, I know like how self-critical I am about like myself and my skin, especially right now, which luckily in this light you can't tell, but like my skin has just been like so atrocious lately. And I think it's just like, I was saying to girls, like, I think it's the anemia. It's just like sucking all the nutrients out of my skin. So my friend Lauren has like the best skin. Like she just has like really, really good skin.
Yeah.
She really does.
Very like dewy,
just
clean,
like small
no
pores,
lines.
No lines. Yeah. Just like really great skin.
Erica does too.
Yeah. Well, Erica's a dumb bitch. I'm kidding. She's my sister-in-law and I love her, but she's not listening to this. And so I can call her whatever I want.
She's European. So that like, I feel like all Europeans just look amazing all the time.
Yeah. No, she's my favorite immigrant. I always tell her. She came here when she was three. Like it's just funny. Anyway, whatever.
Off topic.
So Lauren's skin is always really, really good. So I texted her last night. I was like, Laura, I I've been meaning to text you for a while about this, but like, can you send me your skincare routine?
Did she send it?
Yes.
Can you send it to me?
Yes. I spent like $200 last night.
Terrific.
But she does skin cycling. So like one day, like day one. Okay, wait, hold on. I'm just going to read it. Okay.
Welcome to our beauty
page. I know. Honestly, like, I just feel like, yes, it's obviously a book podcast, but like, we're all girlies here. Like, all the girls want to know. Okay.
Yeah. We don't gatekeep.
Okay. So the morning is always the same.
Okay.
So you cleanse, use vitamin C serum, hyaluronic acid. I can't fucking speak.
Hyaluronic acid.
Thank you. Moisturize and then SPF.
Okay. FYI, for all you pregnant girlies out there, hyaluronic acid and vitamin C serum are pregnancy safe.
Okay. Yes. But you can't use retinol. And that's
correct.
One of the things on here. Because she was like, I can get back on the retinol now because she had the baby. Okay. So then at night, this is the cycling part. So there's like four cycles.
Okay.
So night one, you cleanse, exfoliate, moisturize, go to sleep.
Okay.
Night two, cleanse, moisturize, retinol, and then moisturize again.
Okay.
Over the retinol. And then nights three and four, you cleanse. You use the hyaluronic.
Hyaluronic.
I can't speak.
Wow.
And moisturize. You do that nights three and four, and then you start back up at cleanse, exfoliate, moisturize.
Send me everything that she sent.
And she said that it's like changed her life.
Send me everything that.
And
she
then she sent me some of the products she uses, because like some I already have, and some I was like I haven't used this.
Too.
Yeah, so I'll send you.
Thank you.
Okay. So if you girlies want to start skin cycling with us, I'm starting whenever my stuff comes.
I mean, what a great time, because like it's starting. If you are in the Northeast, such as us,
mm-hmm.
you are entering what I like to call false spring.
Yes.
It is a tease. It's when Mother Nature fucking dicks your ass around and she gives you some days like today.
Like 65 where
it's
degrees
beautiful
out.
Beautiful and sunny. I will say the wind is a little atrocious, but we'll let that go.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you might get that for a day or two, and then it just drops and it becomes cold and a fucking wind tunnel, and it's awful and it's gloomy and doomy. And you get that for like a week, and then it recycles everything again.
Yeah. So my brother was born on April 23rd, and there was like this huge blizzard that day. So my mom, like since we were kids, has always been like, spring doesn't come until after April 23rd, because like if it can snow at the end of April, that means like that's like we're not safe till May, basically.
No, we're not.
No. And it's true. I mean, like, does it snow in April? Like
very rarely.
But yeah, you can't trust, like, we're getting 70 degrees this week, and like you can't trust it.
No. you have to be very leery.
Yeah.
Because even when I brought Leah home, which her birthday is April 25th last year, that whole fucking week was cold and rainy.
Yes.
The nicest day was the day that I was walking my ass to the hospital to get cut open.
And our wedding, so 3 years ago, we went out to celebrate, like 1 year to the wedding, we went out to dinner. It was 98 degrees.
Yeah.
Not the band, the temperature. Anyway, it was really fucking hot. And I was like, okay, I hope we get a day like this next year, but like 70. And then the day of my wedding was like a nice sunny day, but it was windy, mm-hmm. like so windy. Like spring's, I think without the wind, it probably would have been like 60 degrees and perfect. But with the wind, it was like 50 and cold. We were outside for like 10 minutes. Like, wasn't that big of a deal. Well, the guests were out, we were outside taking pictures for a while. But yeah, you never know like what you're going to get. Like every year can just be same thing with different.
It's like funny. It's like my birthday's May 5th. That's like the last week of like, you just don't fucking know. And then Mother's Day weekend's always nice.
Yeah.
I don't fucking get it.
No. And Father's Day is like never nice.
Yeah, you know what? It never is.
Because fathers, actually, no, I like my dad. I was going to say, because fathers suck. But I had a great dad. But I read a book last night where the dad was not great. And so her dad sucked. Anyway, book we're here to talk about, not the book I read last night, but we're here to talk about Fangirl Down by Tessa Bailey. So it's book one in her, it's like a new sports.
Please hold.
Guys, my anemia is so bad. So I'm just going to apologize in advance. Book one and the big shots. I even had it pulled up because I was like, you're going to forget. Anyway, it follows Wells and Josephine. I'm just going to, you know, I normally try to give a synopsis. I'm going to read the back of the book.
Good idea.
Because I have it right here. Okay, so Wells Whitaker was once golf's hottest rising star, but lately all he has to show for his promising career is a killer hangover, a collection of broken clubs, and one remaining supporter. That's Josephine, by the way, if you didn't know. No matter how bad he plays, the beautiful sunny redhead is always on the sidelines. He curses, she cheers, he scowls, she smiles. But when Wells quits in a blaze of glory and his fangirl finally goes home, he knows he made the greatest mistake of his life. Josephine Doyle believed in the gorgeous grumpy golfer, even when he didn't believe in himself. Yet after he throws in the towel, she begins to wonder if her faith was misplaced. Then the determined Wells shows up at her door with a wild proposal. Be his new caddy, help him turn his game around, and split the prize money. And considering that Josephine's professional and personal life is in shambles, she really could use the cash. So they travel together, spending days on the green and nights in the neighboring hotels, and sparks obviously begin to fly. So before long, they're inseparable. Wells starts winning again. Josephine's surprised to find a sweet, thoughtful guy underneath all the gruff, growly exterior. And this hot man wants to brush her hair, which is so cute. Feed her snacks, again, so cute. Take bubble baths together. My bath time's for me, okay? And is this real life? But Wells is technically her boss and an athlete falling for his fangirl, which would be ridiculous, right? No, not ridiculous. I mean, this whole book is ridiculous, but like in the best, in like the cutest
way. It's Tessa Bailey. I can't stand when people come after Tessa Bailey. Because I think maybe if you haven't read a Tessa Bailey book, you're reading the back of it. It's obviously romance. However, Tessa Bailey doesn't write like a contemporary story. She writes literal rom-coms, like
yep.
funny. They're a hoot. They're kind of fucking out there. But like that's her. That's
yes.
what she delivers on. So when you just want like a good book for a good time, like a chuckle of a read, if you will, mm-hmm. short, sweet, to the point, then that's your girl.
Literally, like, okay, so we've had this, I don't want to say this argument, this discussion before, not with each other, just, like, in general, like, in the book community, when people recommend Emily Henry books as rom-coms.
They're not.
And I'm like, that's not a rom-com. That's a contemporary romance book. If you want a rom-com, you pick up a Tessa Bailey book. If you want a rom-com and you pick up Emily Henry, you're going to be very disappointed.
Yes.
If you go into the romance section and want to read something, like, that's more, like, serious – and you pick up a Tessa Bailey, then you'll be disappointed.
Exactly.
But I don't know how people don't know at this point that Tessa Bailey is silly.
Yes, that's a great way to sum her up.
It's silly.
It's silly.
It's good, it's fun.
It's good, fun silliness. That's all it is.
It is like a Netflix rom-com that like randomly just drops on like a Friday that Vanessa Hudgens is starring in. And you're like, what is this? And you put it on and you're like, Oscar worthy? No, but good time? Yes.
It's almost like it's so, I don't want to say so bad that it's good because I do enjoy some of her books.
Yeah.
I enjoy all of her books. Let me rephrase. I enjoy all of her books. I do have a select handful that are like top tier Tessa Bailey books to me. But yeah, like it's just a good time.
Right. Like we did Secretly Yours and it was like fine.
It was fine.
Would I read it again? No. But there are books that I read that I absolutely hate. and I'm like, this book is so bad. I've never read a Tess Bailey book and been like, same. I hate this book.
There has never been a book for me. That was probably one of like the lowest rated books I've given.
Yeah.
And it was maybe like a 3.25 if you want to be like,
yeah,
true to it.
I just like love her for a silly, goofy time.
Yes.
And like this book is silly, goofy times.
Yes.
And like the thing that she does too, she just writes like endearing characters. Like,
yeah, you like them. Cute. There's like, nothing there's, really like everything deep, is deep about
cute
them.
And
yeah.
fluff and just
we
like.
We don't get deep underneath the surface of the issues. Like she gives some backstory about Wells, Josephine, I'm sorry. She has type 1 diabetes. Mm-hmm. Her parents, she's an only child. Her parents kind of almost like make the diagnosis more about her without really meaning to.
Yeah.
Because obviously, as if you're a type 1 diabetic, I'm sure you can say more than I. I mean, I've had some exposure, but like, it could be a serious thing if not monitored, controlled, and or something addressed when yeah. it needs to be addressed. So just, you know, she's like in this kind of like bubble that she's trying to break out of, and she wants her parents to take her seriously as she even takes over like the pro shop. And you come to find out after a flood that she opted to not renew the insurance and she dropped her health insurance so she can help pay for things. But obviously when you have type 1 diabetes, health insurance is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, just a little.
Just a smidgeroo. And then obviously her favorite golfer, who's kind of like on a serious fucking shit streak. Like yeah. no one likes him anymore. He's kind of rough around the edges. Like, he's, like, a cool guy, too. Like, he's just, at the same time, too, like, you could almost sympathize because I couldn't imagine being on TV as a pro athlete mm-hmm. and just fucking sucking it. Like,
yeah. And he has, like, nobody on his side. Like, even when he's at his best, like, the people who are, like, around him.
They want something out of him.
Right. They all want something from him. His parents pretty much, like, abandon him when he's a kid. So he, like, is raised by his, like, uncle. And he's just never had anybody who's, like, ever been 100% in his corner and expecting nothing out of him.
Yeah.
So, like, when he starts to play poorly, he doesn't really have any support. And the people who were in his corner are now like, oh, now that you're, like, not playing as well, like, I'm going to go find another bandwagon person, I guess, to follow. And he gets really in his head about it. So I feel like his play gets worse. And he starts kind of hating... I don't think he ever hates the game. I think he just ends up, he hates like the sport because
yeah.
he feels like abandoned by it.
Yes. And the only person that's ever stuck around for him is Josephine. She does win like a lunch and play type of thing. And he just doesn't even show up for it. But then once he finds out there was a hurricane, like he somehow automatically gets a conscience like, oh shit, this poor girl.
Yeah.
Like, maybe I should check in on her. And that kind of like starts off the whole, I don't want to say it was like a pity hire, but like he feels bad and feels responsible. So he does take her on as his caddy.
He's like intrigued by her.
Yes.
Like the whole
cute.
Time.
Yeah.
And he like doesn't know why I think that he's like trying to push her away in the beginning, like because she's the only one who's on his side still. And he's like, why are you still my fan? Like I'm blowing chunks right now. And she's like, literally just like so loyal
rainbows
as a fan
and sunshine.
And like as a hockey fan, and like my team has like not been very good. They were really good when I was younger and they've been going through a rough patch. Like I'm not just gonna change teams. Like I like
yes.
that about her. She's like, no, like you're just, my favorite golfer.
Yeah, that's your team.
And that's so you're my guy.
I don't like people that, don't get me wrong, like for certain events that have come down to like playoffs,
mm-hmm.
final rounds, Super Bowl related type things. Like you want to cheer for a certain team, rep that merch, you do you. I'm so it's
yeah.
fun. It's the end of it. But like throughout the regular season, if you are you call yourself a fan of a sport or a team, you don't switch sides just because they're not doing well. That's
no.
not how that works.
No, like it's infuriating to watch sometimes.
Yes.
And I'll like skip out on certain games.
Yes.
But I'm never like, oh, I'm going to have to find a new team now. Like, no,
exactly.
that's my fucking team, whether they win or lose.
Like my husband is a diehard Giants fan. The Giants have been shitting the bed for years.
Yeah.
But Tom is still a Giants fan and will still wear Giants merch.
You guys see me in my devil stuff all the time.
It is what it is.
It is what it is.
I am not a Giants fan.
Katie's a Packers fan.
Correct.
If I was choosing a football team, it would be the Packers.
I mean, honestly, I was way
but
more
I just,
Packers
like,
oriented when like Clay Matthews was playing.
I think
you know.
When it was like Clay and Aaron.
It was a fucking great time.
Yeah.
Randall Cobb. Oh, like Jeremy Sunday on the field. You know, things were just good. Not so much anymore. I will say I have watched the Jets a bit more because I watched the Jets for a hot second until Aaron Rodgers tore his Achilles.
So she watched for one play.
One play. And then then the minute I watched that man go down, I was like, oh, that's an Achilles rupture.
Yeah. No, speaking of Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, so my office building where I sit, I face the Jets practice field. And so like when they during preseason, when they're all out there practicing, like the men in my office, like they bring their binoculars and they like sit at their desks and I'm like, you guys can just walk over there. Like they're open practices.
Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, he had the fastest Achilles rupture recovery that I've like ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm very, most times, like 9 times out of 10, that is career ending. It's very hard to come back from that. I am so intrigued to watch him play next year. Anywho, that's not why we're here again.
No, sorry. We're here to talk about Wells's butt.
So let's talk about the butt.
Let's talk about the butt.
Let me preface by saying, to each their own. I am not here to judge you. I don't give a shit what you do behind closed doors. You do you. I'ma do me.
Yep.
However, with that being said, I did ask my husband this. I was like, if we were in a shower and I started to get on my knees and not for the front, for the back, he goes, I would fucking bitch slap you into tomorrow.
Listen.
He says that with love. He would never hit me.
No, I'm coming over. But listen, okay. You're reading this book. You know Wells. Like, Wells is, like, big, like, burly, like, man. Like, look at the cover.
I think you have a hairy ass.
I was saying, look at the cover. Like, this man has hair. You know what I mean? Like, he... And we've all seen a man... Well, I assume that we've all seen a man's ass before. I've never seen one that's completely bare.
Unless you're, like, nairing that shit for TV.
I was gonna say, unless it's, like, your job to have it be bare. But if you're just, like, a man that's just, like...
I just don't think it's a man. Living
your life. I don't think there's no hair down there. And the one thing I'm never going to do is lick somebody's pubes. It's their butt pubes.
No, thank you.
So again.
I shall pass.
Again, that's fine if that's what you want to do.
I literally don't give a fuck.
I literally cannot
care. Honestly, I kind of commend you.
Yeah, no, I just wouldn't.
Same.
Like, I won't even eat ketchup. I won't even eat condiments in general. Ew. So like, if you think I'm going to then lick an ass, it's just not for me.
I'd rather... What would we okay, so we both hate ketchup. I don't hate all condiments, but ketchup to me is the devil. I won't touch it. I won't look at it.
I would actually rather lick an ass than eat ketchup.
Honestly, same.
Yeah.
You
heard it here first, guys. You turned us into two ass lickers. Okay, we can't make Katie laugh today, apparently. No, but okay, so it is, I don't want to say it's insta-love. There's, like, a very, like, instant infatuation. Like, once you get past, like, that, like, first chapter of him, like, kind of, like, rejecting her as, like, a fan, like, because he's, like, in a mood. As soon as they kind of, like, get, like, he goes to, like, the shop, he's, like, immediately intrigued by her.
Yes.
And I like that it was, like, more him chasing her at first. Because I was, like, oh, like, she's going to be this, like, sad, like, pathetic, like, little fan girl, like, chasing this guy around. But it was kind of the other way.
Once she's, like, kind of dismissed by him, she's like, all right, fuck it, then I'm out. Like,
yeah.
You want to treat me like that after I've, like, been here for you, then
yeah,
see you. I'll find someone else to cheer on. Like, I love the sport.
Yeah.
Which, like, I got to commend it to her.
And I like how she knew that it was going to bother him if she was a fan of somebody else. So she kind of, like, is like, oh, well, maybe that one will be my favorite golfer. And he's like, no, you're my biggest fan.
Yeah.
Like, he's immediately like, no, like, you're my fan. You can't cheer for anybody else.
I love how she, like, also with, like, the whole locker room situation.
Yeah.
Like, she chooses to go into, like, the communal locker room. You haven't seen a girl caddy. So she's the first one. So they do offer her the option to go somewhere else. But she's like, no, like, I need to be a part of this. Like,
right.
I'm already going to be kind of looked at because of who I'm caddying for.
Yeah.
And then, of course, looping the whole female thing. And let's be honest, I think there's a lot of thought process behind, like, females in sports from not everyone, but from some.
From a lot.
So she's, you know, like, let me, like, whatever, hold my own. Like, she gets in there and gets right with them. Like,
yeah.
They try to, like, knock her down a few pegs, and she's like, come at me. Like, I know my shit. So you gotta respect that.
And that's, like, the one thing. Like, she knows her shit about golf. So, like, when they try to, like, get in, I've said this a million times, she was just another male caddy, nobody would try to quiz her on the fucking game of golf.
No.
But because she's a girl, they come in and they're, like, trying to, like, kind of, like, catch her in, like, a, oh, you're not really a golf fan, blah, blah, blah. and she knows her shit.
Yes.
And she's also not afraid to go, like, toe-to-toe.
Correct.
Like, she said, like, there's a, Wells, like, says something, like, I guess, like, about, like, how she doesn't have a boyfriend, and, like, she's like, yeah, a lot of people don't like the fact that, like, I'm, like, a shit talker or whatever, and you get that from her. Like, she will shit talk these men.
Yeah.
And the thing I liked about it, too, is that at first they're like, oh, you're a girl, what do you know? And then they come to respect her.
Yes.
And I really appreciated that.
And they all kind of are enamored by her, too. Like,
yeah.
Like, she does know what she's talking about. She is helping him turn his game around. Like, the first time that he's playing, he completely dismisses her. We've got a control issue here with him.
We do.
So when she even, like, again, tells him off about that, like, you hired me and brought me on for a reason.
Yeah.
Then let me help you. So once he kind of lets his guard down and finally kind of, like, cools his jets with the control, like, yeah, like, she is making a difference. Like, everyone can see it, which is kind of cool. I also like how when she gets, quote-unquote, fired by him in the end, like, everyone is so pissed off with him. Like, what do you mean she was fired? Like, how dare you let her go?
Yeah.
But he's, like, almost afraid that she was going to, like, get swooped up by somebody else.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Yeah, he fires her at the end. It's almost, like, because he's, like, so in love with her.
Yeah.
And he does it because he's, like,
so this is the one thing, I don't mean to cut you off, sorry. It's like they're both trying to help each other out,
yeah.
But they're both not communicating.
Yes.
And it's not like, I don't want to say it's a miscommunication, there's just a lack of communication.
Yes. And then she makes it to, like, he ends up winning, but, like, she makes it to, like, the final round, like, the final hole of the PGA.
Is it the Masters?
Masters. Yeah. I was going to say the big one, the green jacket. She makes it to the final of the Masters. He wins. And it's a nice moment.
It is a nice moment. I've never heard of a caddy going up against media, though, like, at the table.
And yeah.
That was a complete, like, let's just throw that in for some zhuzh, if you will.
Yeah, but...
But, like, it was fun times. But I will say Tessa really kind of... I don't mean to put the sport down because it's a very fucking hard sport and I have to
She made it fun.
But she made it fun, but she really kind of stayed true to, like, the actual sport as well.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, I remember when she started writing it because she was like, nobody's ever in a golf romance. She's like, she doesn't, like, know golf or, like, watch golf. So I feel like she had to watch it and do some research. Because, yeah, we watch golf occasionally in our household as well.
It's on religiously.
I was going to say, it used to be on more. But now I got Gil into reading instead of watching TV. Nice. He read, like, 3 books last week when we were away.
I'm so proud of him.
Anyway, and he was studying for his CFA for, like, 2 years, so there was just, like, not a lot of TV watching going on. But, yeah, we watched a lot of golf, and I'm like, so, like, I know, like, enough about it. You know what I mean? Speaking of golf, you guys, off topic, I was away last week, and we went to this mini golf place, but it wasn't, like, children's mini golf. It was, like, adult mini golf. Apparently, the courses are designed by Tiger Woods. It's called Pop Stroke.
I have heard of that.
Yeah, so it's like adult mini golf. Anyway, I got a hole in one.
That's actually really impressive.
I know. I'm like the best golfer you've ever seen.
Totally. Leah's first birthday party is going to be hole in one themed.
Well, I'm going to hit all of them. And everyone's going to be like, wow. Honestly, at first everybody was like, Teresa, go to a driving range. Because I was whacking these balls. Like, they were going off course. I was like, I either tap it and it goes 1 foot or I, like, literally drive it and it's, like, on a hole over here.
Golf is very hard.
But I was making, like, the crazy shots. Like, my brother's a video. I don't even know how I got this ball up where I got it, but I got it, like, on the top of, like, this, like, hill. So I, like, climbed this hill and, like, hit it down and I literally got it in par 2.
That's actually impressive.
I know. I mean, it was par 3. So it was a birdie. I got a birdie at mini golf.
We're both the same way. But there is nothing that grinds my gears more than someone who's fucking competitive at putt-putt. I don't want to be competitive.
Oh, no, yeah. We were just having a good time.
I'm here for good vibes. I'm here for good chuckles. I'm here for good laughs. And that's literally about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not here to smack the ball 18 million times trying to get into the hole. Like, I'm going to try. But I try loosely. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not so serious where if, like, I can't get it in a couple times, it's like, we can just move on.
Yeah.
Like, we'll move to the next hole. If everyone else is done, I'll get my ball. We'll go.
Yeah. No, you would have fun. We'd have fun there. Gil was having fun, and he is competitive. Man. He was like, as long as I beat you. Because at one point, he was like, I think I'm losing to T. I came in third. He came in second.
By the skin of his teeth.
Yeah. I was actually really – I'm, like, really good at mini golf, I guess. Wells would be so impressed by me, honestly. He'd be like, do you want a caddy for me? And I'd say, hell yeah, I do. Pick that one.
Okay, so I have a question. So our two favorite books, I'm speaking for you, so correct me if I'm wrong, would be It Happened One Summer.
Yeah.
And Hook, Line, and Sinker, at least for number one and number two.
Yeah.
Where does this in our, like, where in your top?
It's been a really, really long time since I've read Fix Her Up.
Same.
Like, I read that in, like, 2018. Because I was still living in my apartment. So it may have been 2017. So I'm going to put this at either three or four.
Okay.
In my Tessa Bailey rundown. But again, we both listened to the audio.
Yes.
And this is the first podcast that we've ever done where I've listened to audio instead
of
reading.
The audio is good.
No, I like the audio a lot.
I'm certain it's dual narrator, if I'm not mistaken. I wrote that in my review. Single.
I was going to say, it was single, and I was like, maybe I'm wrong.
I want to say this might be like on the four or five for me. No, it actually might be five or six, because to me, it's It Happened One Summer, Hook, Line, and Sinker.
Okay.
I really enjoyed My Killer Vacation.
Oh, yeah. No, I really liked My Killer Vacation. I forgot about that one.
I really liked Fix Her Up from what I remember of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie.
So maybe five.
Oh, wait. Oh, my God.
Four
hold
or five.
On. No, I have two more. I really enjoyed Wreck the Halls. I thought Wreck the Halls was a really good read of hers.
See, like, it's really hard. I feel like one and two are duh, and then everything else is, like, everything you've just named, I'm like, it could be three, but it could be five. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I can't rank, like.
And then not Secretly Yours, but book two, Unfortunately Yours.
I haven't read that one yet.
That was very enjoyable. So, like, Fangirl is going to come after all that for me.
Okay.
Tis just my opinion.
But I would give it like 3.5
this
stars.
I think this got a little long. I think at one point I remember like going back to my audiobook, like, this isn't fucking done yet.
It did feel long, like right, like towards the end.
Yeah.
Where I was like, okay, like, because like the tension and the buildup is really good. But then as soon as they fuck, I'm like, okay, like.
Just get to the point.
Now, like, just be together.
Just wrap that shit up.
I like the part where he like breaks into her apartment.
Yes.
I thought that was like really, really cute.
I like that he calls her parents.
I was gonna say, I really like that he develops this very close bond with her parents. How he like, okay, so her best friend, who is in the next book, The Au Pair Affair. Her best friend,
I'm excited for this book.
Yeah, her best friend is in Antarctica. She's like studying to be a marine biologist. And he kind of fucks up in the beginning, and he like takes her phone from her and like kind of like yells at the person on the phone and hangs up. And she's like, that's literally like the one phone call I get from my best friend. So he feels so bad that he coordinates with her best friend to get her to come to one of the tournaments to see her. Like, she can only stay for like 36 hours or something. And then, I don't know, you could just tell like that he truly does care. He's just so rough around the edges.
Yeah. He's never had someone soften him out. But that also just speaks to his upbringing.
Yes. And then it also speaks to Joe, like, his affections for Josephine, because he does soften a lot for her. Like, he's like going to Bed Bath and Beyond and like buying candles and like bath stuff for her. And like, he's like, again, like, he wants to just like brush her hair for her and like rub her feet and just like do nice things for her.
Yeah.
I thought the epilogue was cute. So they're like married. It's the future. And he like is finally like retiring. Cause he's like, I just don't want to leave like you and like the kids anymore. Like, I just want to be here. And he ends up, like, helping her, like, run their little
pro shop.
Pro shop. So, like, it all works out.
Just a little happily ever after, if you will.
Yeah.
It was cute.
It was cute. Yeah, I'm excited.
To say about it.
I'm excited for the next one, because it is Nanny and hockey. So we'll see how Tessa Bailey does the hockey thing. I actually just, like, recorded a whole video about how I'm, like, so sick of authors just, like, jumping on the hockey romance genre bandwagon, because, like, not everybody needs to be writing them. And honestly, I haven't even read a hockey romance book.
Yeah, you haven't.
In a really long time, because I just don't – if you're good at it, I love it. But if you're just doing it because it's popular, I don't want to read it. I'm sorry.
I agree. I mean, sometimes it is trial and error. I think there are some authors out there who maybe tried it and did it well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're going to try, then like, don't just half-ass it to just put something out there. Put some effort into it.
Right. Like, if you're going to write any sports romance book, I'm just saying hockey right now because it was like obviously like very popular and a lot of people just kind of jumped on the bandwagon. But if you're going to write any sports romance book, do your research.
Yeah.
Because I will suspend belief on so many things. But there are some glaring issues in a lot of these books. And I'm like, or they're just like, oh, he's a hockey player. And then like, he never like goes to, he never has a game or goes to, or does anything. And I'm like, then don't, he could have been anything then.
Yeah.
So I'm not talking about like my favorite, like I'm talking about Becca Mack. I'm not talking about Avery Keelan. I'm not talking about like Helena Hunting. I'm talking about like people who were just like popular, going to write one and then like didn't do any research. So we're going to see how Tessa Bailey does.
Can she live up to
it? Can she live up to it? And I will definitely tell you the truth. Like, I'm not going to sugarcoat a review just because we have an arc of it. So, yeah. So I'll always give an honest review or no review at all if I'm like,
let's not bash this.
Right. If I'm trying to be nice, I just won't give a review at all. But if I really hate something, you'll hear about it.
So true.
I know. next week we have just our typical spilling the tea. I actually have a lot that I need to talk to you guys about, so I'm excited for that episode. The last week of February,
March,
we have Powerless, yes, by Lauren Roberts, but we are also next weekend, not this one coming up, the one following, we're going to Charleston, we're going to Sweetgrass. So we're going to do a little vlog and we'll probably do like a recap, podcast episode. And then we have to discuss March because
April.
Oh my God.
I'll keep her in check, guys.
It's the anemia. I'm normally one that has to keep me up.
The anemia. I know, normally they keep me in check.
I know.
I am curious about this book event, though. Like, I feel like it's going to be very Disney where you're just standing on lines.
We were talking today and Katie was like, so, like, you have to get online. Okay, so we have to get online to get – okay, you have to get online early. And then that line lets you in so that you can get online to get wristbands. And those wristbands are for you to be online for certain authors.
Yes.
And we were like, this is a lot of lines. I was like, it's basically Disney.
Like, I feel like we're just going to be standing.
Obviously I'm excited to get certain books signed. Like, yes. I'm excited to meet certain authors. I'm like, also just really excited to see like who's there. Like,
I'm excited experience this. Like, I'm excited. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, you guys are bringing a shit ton of books. And, like,
I'm bringing whatever, like 12 books, which actually isn't a lot because people are going to bring like 100 books.
I'm literally bringing like 5, like, and I'm bringing book plates for people to sign.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a line that's, like, absolutely fucking atrocious.
And, of course, like, all of the authors that, like, we really want to see are, like, ticketed author to, like, wristband authors. Like, Elle Kennedy. Like, I'm sorry, but I need to have the deal signed by Elle Kennedy. I do.
I understand that for you.
And, like, the Addicted series.
Debbie Perry. Yeah. The Richies or whatever their names are.
Yeah.
I have read their books. So yeah. Sorry.
Like, Liz Tomford. Okay, so, like, that's Liz Tomford. All of my books are already signed by her because I've been on her ARC team. But I still need to meet her. So like, I still need to get a wristband.
Yes.
And like, if she has like one of the older covers, like I'll probably just buy one of her books, but I'm like, I'm more just like, I just want to meet them.
I think that's why I'm not bringing a lot though. Because I don't, again, we've never experienced this before.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to walk and expect. So the last thing I want to do is be lugging around books. And then I don't know about you guys, but like when I'm somewhere, it's almost like free spending. Like, yes, am I spending my money?
No,
yes.
Vacation,
like,
money is different.
Vacation money is different. So like to me, if I'm like, oh, I really think I want to buy this book or something like that, I want the capability to do so without me being like, I don't have room for this.
Well, it's like I only pre-ordered like 2 books just because I like the special edition covers. But I know like a lot of people are like pre-ordering like 25 books or more. And they're like, I have to bring an extra suitcase to fit all my books in. And I'm like, I'm bringing like 12 max. And that seems like a lot, but it's really not, honestly. Well, also, I feel like you haven't read a lot of.
I have, but I just don't. I don't know. Like, I just.
Yeah.
A lot. Yes, there's more authors that you guys want to see than I want to see. I'm just going to be tagging along. So, like, unless you. I'll leave you guys and go see Nicole Fiorina.
No, I feel like Tori and Mary will probably leave us for a little bit. Because, like, they're going to. Like, there's authors that they want to see that I've never read before. And I'm like, whatever. And then we'll probably go see like other people, like I can go with Nicole Farina or whatever. I don't know, we're gonna figure, honestly, like
it's
I don't want to be stressed.
Same. I don't want to be running around like a fucking lunatic,
like,
doing X,
if
Y, and Z.
I have a pre-order of one of the Elsie Silver books, but like I love Elsie Silver, but if I didn't get to meet her, I'd be okay. I really, honestly, I want to meet the Richies so bad, and I want to meet Elle Kennedy. Obviously, I want to meet Liz, like, in person, because we've met now, like, virtually, but, like, in person.
Well, like, we also want to stop by and say hi to, like, Morgan Elizabeth.
Yeah, like, say Morgan and, like, Megan Quinn. Yeah. Like, again, like, we've met, like, virtually. And, like, I just want to see them. Like,
yes.
I feel like, I don't need my book signed, but, again, like, I don't know. Like, I don't really care about the signatures. I care about meeting the people.
Same. I'm just, like, here for, like, the good times.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's fun.
Yes.
But that's the thing. Like, I'm not going to, like, if I don't, I'm not going to stress about it.
No.
I'm really just there to have a good time.
Someone's like, we're going to like drop stuff and sprint. I'm like, see you.
Yeah. Like,
like I'm a mosey my way around and just
honestly,
say
our tickets, we won our tickets. which is great. So like, I'm just there to enjoy myself.
Agreed.
But yeah, so we will update you guys on all of that. And we'll put out an April schedule once we decide what we're doing for April.
Correct. Cause I'm not there yet.
No, I think it's still February. So
just where life's at.
Everybody right manifest for me this iron infusion like next week. Okay.
Will
thanks.
Do.
That's your homework. Anyway, on that note. Oh my God, you guys.
Thank you so much for listening to our episode. We hope you enjoyed it. Be sure to subscribe to receive notifications anytime a new episode drops.
You can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at thebff.bookclub. If you have any comments, questions, book recommendations, or books you want us to talk about in future episodes, please send us an email at thebff.bookclub1@gmail.com.
We appreciate your support.
See you, suckers.